This episode of the Your Favorite Band podcast is brought to you by Spartan Records. Their band Young Fox has a new album, Sky Beats Gold, coming out March 10th. Pre-order that bad boy and get two songs immediately. Check out SpartanRecords.com.
And welcome to the Your Favorite Band podcast, the podcast where we interview your favorite band.
Makes sense.
We have a guest this week. His name is Steve.
Hey.
Perhaps you've heard of him. We may have mentioned him offhand, me and Bran, on occasion. He's one of those guys that you tell stories about. Well, this time, the story is going to be right here for you guys. Steve is here. He's a med student.
I am.
He's currently learning how to save children's lives.
They call me Steve the Story, because there's stories about me.
Right, and so, enough about Steve. We're excited this week to have Young Fox on the podcast, so welcome.
Yay!
Hey, he's here!
Yeah, do you want to just kind of say your name and your favorite color, just to get things started?
Sure, this is Marty from Young Fox, and my favorite color would be... let's go blue, but with a little bit of green mixed in.
Just enough.
That's actually perfect.
That's a great color. It's like if a plant was being watered.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's really great way of putting it.
All right, so we'll just kind of start off with how life was for you, kind of leading up to Young Fox. I know that you have a roots in another band, so you could bring that up and kind of talk about. Actually, if you can go before that even, just kind of how you got inspired to start making music in the first place so that people can get an idea of how you kind of were inspired.
Sure. Well, I started out, I come from a relatively musical family, and my brother was exactly 17 years older than I. And so by the time I came around, he was already, you know, in established bands and things like that. And so I stole his record collection at a very young age, and just basically got into music through that. And at some point in my teens, I decided that I wasn't going to be the star athlete, so I may as well find something else. And music was the natural thing to go to. So I insisted that I wanted to play the drums, and so I said, you know, Mike, you have to help me. You know, I need a drum set, and so we looked in the paper in classifieds looking for drum sets, and there were none. But there was a 1978 Rickenbacker 4-string bass.
Oh boy!
And he said, you know, drummers and guitar players, they're all over the place, but bass players, you know, you can't have a band without a bass player. So we went and bought the bass, so I became a bassist. Over the years, kind of taught myself guitar, and I actually have it now where I have a band where I play bass and a band where I play guitar, and Young Fox is the guitar band, and that's where most of my writing goes to is Young Fox.
Awesome. So so the other band, though, is the one that came first, correct?
Well, I've been the bass player of Zayo for the last 13 years. Zayo is a metallic hardcore band that's been around for a million years. The band started actually in 1994. And I've been their tour manager for the last 16 years and playing for the last 13. And so when Young Fox came around, it was the thought was that this is maybe a side project, and we wanted to establish that no, it's not a side project. It's a legit thing. A lot of the musical things that are thrown my way are Zayo related. But it was interesting as far as how we got hooked up with Young Fox got hooked up with Spartan Records, because John found us through Instagram, and because our drummer had liked the record company's Instagram, and he knew nothing about the Zayo connection or anything like that, because John Frazier from Spartan had actually worked at Tooth and Nail Records for a long time, which is the label that Zayo got its start on.
Right.
So that was one of the reasons, or actually the main reason of us getting hooked up with Spartan, was the fact that it was he was interested in the band for the music itself, having nothing to do with, well, it's this guy from this band. It was just, you know, just all about the music and the fact that he liked it and thought other people would too.
Wow. And with your first band, Zayo, that was a metal band, right? That was the kind of music you guys were putting out.
Yeah. We actually just put out a new record in December, December 9th. I think it was something like the 12th or 13th full length for the band, something wow. ridiculous like that. Yeah. But it's a metal band. It's been known as a hardcore, a metalcore throughout its existence, and now it's pretty much a metal band with a full screaming singer. So,
and the music that Young Fox puts out isn't necessarily metal or anything really coming close to that, I would say. It seems to have a lot more of a toned out version of that. So how did that transition happen for you?
Well, I like to think of myself and actually all of us in Young Fox as our musical tastes are very diverse. For one thing, I'm much older than the rest of the guys. I'll be 42 in July, and the rest of the guys haven't hit 30 yet. So, you know, our musical tastes are actually from different generations of music as well. And so we're able to take those different generations of music and smash them together and see what happens. But a lot of the musical basis for Young Fox comes from a lot of bands that I was listening to in the late 80s and early 90s that should have been bigger than what they were, but for one reason or another just weren't. You know, bands that maybe put out a couple of records and they were, you know, seminal albums, but then that was the end of their band. So I like to pull a lot of influence from bands like that, you know, almost as a way of like bringing what they intended to do into the now.
I see. And so you said that you kind of transitioned to guitar for this one. Is that something that you kind of like find that you liked better, or is it just you kind of like them both equally, but you kind of have different moods?
You know, yeah, they're very different. As far as guitar for me, it's very much a challenge thing. You know, everybody likes a challenge. My main instrument for my entire life has been bass, and guitar was always secondary. I'm nowhere near the guitarist that I mean, I'm not saying I'm much of a bass player either, but I'm nowhere near the guitar player that I am as a bass player. And so that alone is a challenge. But then, you know, I also had a lot of things that I wanted to do musically from a writing standpoint. And it's just much easier to explain your ideas to someone if you're writing on a guitar than
right.
as opposed to writing on the bass.
To be able to get the chords out.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it just made a lot of sense. And I was gifted for, I guess it was 2 years ago, I was gifted a baritone guitar for my birthday. So that kind of put another spin onto what we were able to do. It's just, you know, you're playing it the same way as a regular guitar, but the sounds, you can just do so much more sonically with it. So that on the new record, that plays a very large part in it. I think there's only a couple of songs where the baritone doesn't appear.
Hmm. I love the baritone guitar. It's awesome. It's such a great frequency on the guitar to be able to have that low part. And here's another question I wanted to ask is, when you started writing songs, was that before Young Fox? Did you kind of stock up on a bunch of these before you started that, since you were in Zayo for so much time before even beginning Young Fox? Were you always writing songs, or did you like kind of later decide to start doing that?
Yeah, well, I had a bunch of songs laying around for a while that weren't very Zayo-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
Those actually ended up on the very first EP that we did. I think it was in think we put it out in 2014. Spartan put that out digitally for us. So those songs had been kicking around for a while. And then because those had been kicking around for a while, Young Fox itself had been working on new material all the while. So we actually had several of the songs that appear on the full length coming out in a few days were written at the time that the five song EP came out. And so we basically have just been adding to those songs and then went in and recorded them all at the same time.
And from what I understand, you guys were practicing and kind of writing for 2 years for this EP, that you put out in 2014. So is that something where you really were just trying to make sure you got every single thing right? Was there some things where you're trying to figure things out in the studio, or what was going on there to really, you know, precipitate a 2 year period before putting out an EP?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds kind of funny that it took that long to do that, but,
yeah.
With all of us having jobs and relationships, and then, we actually started out, it was just three of us. It was just Luke, Chris, and myself, so guitar, bass, and drums. I actually started out as playing bass in Young Fox. And so we were looking for a fourth person simply because you can only do so much with three musicians. And we were looking for a bigger sound. We were basically looking for a guitar player. And we went through several before settling on one, and then that was that four-piece lineup is what actually recorded the EP. So it took us it took us longer than it should have to go through that process, but in the end I think we made something that we were all proud of.
And
like I said, we had some delays with the full length. Brian, our guitar player that played with us on the four song, was no longer playing with us. And then instead of finding a guitar player to replace, what we did was I moved to guitar and we got ourselves a bass player, in Callan Carnahan, who is playing with us on the full length. So that, you know, anytime you change members, or you know, there's a whole process of bringing them up to speed with the songs that you already have and then continuing to write, and so it just things took a little longer than they should have. But you know, we like where we're at now.
Yeah. And did you feel like that they caused any I guess you could say sort of change in the direction of the album or where it was going because of that time, or you kind of just felt like things just went the way you envisioned them? They just kind of, you know,
yeah,
took some time due to life.
Well, philosophically, Brian, the guitar player that left, he and I were very, very different guitar players. Mm-hmm. I was coming more from the heavier side of music, and he was coming more from the solos and, you know, that style of guitar.
Yeah.
And that change definitely precipitated a change in sound sonically, for sure. And, you know, honestly, it's not really up for me to judge, because we just make the songs that we make. We make the songs that we like, and it's kind of up for you guys that are smart guys when it comes to music to say which style is best, which, you know, what we sound like now. So.
Uh-huh. Right. And also, you kind of were hinting at this earlier about how on the Instagram photo, that's how you connected initially with Spartan Records. But can you elaborate more on the process of how you communicated with them and then eventually signed, right? This was right before releasing Predecessors, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just really interesting because there's a million labels out there. And when Chris, our drummer, said, yeah, there's this label, Spartan, that kind of I've been in contact with through Instagram, and we set up a video chat with John Fraser, who owns Spartan, and through that video chat just kind of got to understand where each party was coming from. And I found it very interesting that, you know, he was saying some of the stories of you know, his history with Tooth and Nail, and my own personal history with Tooth and Nail, and a lot of the bands that were on there. His first album that he worked on that label was a band called Further Seems Forever, did a record called How to Start a Fire. And I was actually on tour with Further Seems Forever at the time, working for them. So we had realized that we had a bunch of near miss meetings in the past, John and I, and so it was just interesting, you know, that like I said, that he had came to us without knowing any of those close call history things, and you know, was just interested in the band,
right. And you have, it seems like, from what you've been saying, had a lot of experience with multiple different positions within a band, being the manager, being one of the band members, and now being a front man. What have you noticed over the years how the music scene's changed as far as what it's like trying to start a new project? Some, you know, even just now versus 10 years ago, it seems like it's changed drastically with the way the internet works now and streaming music and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we were touring full time until around 2007, and it seems to me about that time is when the internet started to take hold, and it, you know, more or less the music industry as it had existed for, you know, 100 years was essentially no more, and that's kind of the world that we are living in now. You know, the things that make the charts now are things that people want to make the charts, not necessarily the listeners to the music. And it is what it is. But you know, my background is bands like Fugazi, you know, who did it their own way the entire time that they were a band. And you know, that still means something to a lot of people. So I would like to think that any band that I am a part of is more of that aesthetic than the other way. You know, Zaya, for instance, this album that we just put out in December was the first one that we've done ourselves ever. The first one that didn't have a label behind it. So we basically made our own label and put it out. And so far, it's the quickest selling one ever. So if that's what the music industry is now, then I guess we're okay with it.
All right. And, you know, in terms of, you know, putting out the new album and, you know, Zayo, and then you have this EP out, which came out in 2014 for Predecessors. In terms of that record, was there, you know, just talking about that record in general, was there anything that you were trying to hope to accomplish with that first release in terms of, you know, with Zao now, you put out the record without having a label behind it. This one, you know, you kind of put this one out now with, you know, Spartan. You had Spartan Records kind of with you. So do you feel like there's, you know, a certain thing that you're trying to accomplish putting one out with a label behind it, one versus without, you know, anything in that terms?
Well, I mean, the simple fact of it is like I said, Zayo has been around since 1994 and has a pretty well-established name. There's a very loyal group of fans that have, I mean, it's growing daily, which blows my mind because some of the kids at Zayo shows weren't even alive when the band started. You know, I don't even know how that stuff works. But as far as Young Fox, it's a new thing. You know, Young Fox is its own thing and a new entity that doesn't have that built-in name recognition. So we had to go, you know, a different route, hopefully to build a fan base up for ourselves. You know, and I guess the big difference between full-time touring and the kind of band that Young Fox is that we have to be very selective with where and when we play, you know, simply because of our lives outside of the band. You know, building a fan base now is in some ways it's a lot tougher than it was back then, because back then we could just jump in a van and go all over the place and, you know, eat Taco Bell every day. And, you know, it's, you know, when you get into your 30s and 40s, those kinds of things aren't as feasible anymore. So,
right.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that my goal right now for music, and I guess for the rest of my life, is to put out the best possible stuff that I can and hope that people like it. And that's about as far as it goes.
Your old pal Bran here. I'm really bummed I missed this interview with Young Fox, so I wanted to take a second and just tell you that you should really go buy or pre-order their new album Sky Beats Gold that comes out on March 10th. Our friends at Spartan Records sent us this album early. I've listened to it multiple times and I love it, and I'm telling you, you need to go to SpartanRecords.com and pre-order this guy. You're going to get two songs right up front. And you're going to enjoy those two songs immensely. Plus, you're going to get the whole album on March 10th. You're going to listen to it nonstop. You're going to be super happy. Your life's not going to suck anymore. And everything's going to be better for you if you go get this album, Sky Beats Gold by Young Fox. Spartan Records knows exactly what they're doing. And when they put this album out, they were like, are we putting out the best album ever? Yes. Go get it. Sky Beats Gold, Young Fox. It comes out March 10th. That's this week. So pre-order it, get two songs, and then be happier with your life. SpartanRecords.com. Go get it. Sky Beats Gold, Young Fox. Let's get back to the thing. Please don't forget.
Well, let's fast forward to 2017 with the first full length coming out, right? And what was kind of happening between predecessors in this album? Were you guys touring like crazy or trying to write more? Or was it like kind of like what you're saying, you're just trying to pace yourself and make sure that you're just releasing good music rather than grinding yourself down at Taco Bell's all the time?
Right, right. Well, we actually, like I said, we had a member change during that period.
Right.
And why that's tricky while you're in the middle of writing a record is you still have to be playing shows.
Yeah.
So not only were we trying to have practices where we were only doing writing, and then we would try to have practices where we were really only playing songs that we already had so that we could continue to play shows while we were going through the recording process. So we kind of had to balance that out where it was, you know, we were showing songs to a brand new member while writing things and going to the studio and recording them. We spent a lot more time in the studio on this one than we did on the EP. Mainly because a lot of the ideas for the EP had been, like I said, had been floating around for a while, and they were kind of more complete songs. Whereas there were a few ideas that for the new album that we came up with in the studio, which obviously isn't ideal if you're paying for studio time. You know, you don't really want to be writing things in the studio, but we basically put a lot of thought into it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We spent as much time as we thought we needed, and I think at the end of the day we came out with something that we are all proud of. You know, like any piece of art, when you're done with it, you look at it and you can see a thousand things that you would do differently if you could. But you know, at some point you have to just say, you know what, this is the best that these four guys can do. And let's put it out there and hope people like it.
Yeah, and you know, Stephen Christian of Amberlin makes an appearance in your first single, so Slow Burn. So how did all that come to be, you know, with a bigger name like Stephen Christian landed on that track?
Well, I guess this was one of those common things that John from Spartan and I had, in that Stephen was a good friend of John, because John had worked on the Anne Berlin albums, and you know, they had just stayed in contact over the years, and are friends. And Anne Berlin had actually done some touring with a couple of bands that I worked with, namely the Juliana Theory, and further, I guess. But we, you know, so we had crossed paths many times over the years. And so we had this part at the end of Slow Burn where it was there was a nice long musical break before it, and it made sense to do something differently, you know, vocally there. And so one of our initial thoughts actually was to have Aaron Weiss from Me Without You handle that part. Those guys were guys that I played with when I was in college. We had a band together called The Operation.
Oh, cool.
And so that was kind of the initial thought. And then in talking to John, you know, Stephen's name came up, and the other three guys, I'm not saying that I'm not an Anne Berlin fan. It's just I was, you know, there, it was more like a peer thing, because they were playing shows with bands I was working with. But the other three younger guys in Young Fox were actually huge Anne Berlin fans. And so that made a whole lot of sense for those guys to be able to, you know, be on a track with Stephen. I mean, it was just huge for them. So we jumped at that chance, and I think it actually turned out really, really well.
Yeah, it did. I think that's so cool. But it's so funny to know that how different the other side would have been with Aaron if it had been
kind of style. Absolutely, yeah.
Like, just imagining that song now, it's kind of funny that it could have gone either way.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, and it's one of those things, you know, when you've done a lot of touring with different bands and things, it, you know, the friends that you make by doing all that, it's crazy how they end up being lifelong friends,
right.
You know, and I'm grateful for all those friendships. But it's always fun to kind of pull that stuff out and mash it together. I mean, we who knows? We may have Aaron do something in the future. You know, we'll see how it goes. So
that's awesome. And actually, whenever I think of Me Without You, they're like the pinnacle of just. The lyrics that they write are so good, which I wanted to ask you about that. When you're writing your songs, how does the lyric piece come in for you? Because I assume that you kind of write all the melodies and lyrics, right?
Well, actually, I'll get to that in 1 second. Let me actually back up a second, because you mentioned Aaron and his lyric writing. And anytime somebody does that, I feel the need to bust on myself in saying that. When Aaron was in the college band, in the Operation, he was the drummer.
Oh, wow.
And Greg Jahanian from Me Without You and I were in charge of the lyrics. And, you know, that fact alone just makes me feel absolutely terrible about myself. Because as far as I'm concerned, Aaron Weiss is one of the best lyric writers on planet Earth.
And so good,
I had him in a band. And wouldn't let him write any of the lyrics. So
that's so good.
Yeah, there's that. That's one of my failures in life. There are many, but that's definitely one of them.
No way. That's so funny. But yeah, I mean, he's a genius in that. But yeah, you can follow that up by saying your process for doing the lyrics.
Yeah, we basically for the full length. We brought a good friend of ours named Tyler Kieran in, who was the singer of a Pittsburgh band called Red Hands, that was a good bit heavier than Young Fox and had kind of a yelly, screamy sound to the vocals. But Tyler is also a very, very talented lyricist. So when we brought him in to sing, he basically sings almost all of the backups on the full length. When we brought him in, it just made a lot of sense that since he was going to be singing a lot of the stuff with Luke, who is our main singer, it made a lot of sense to have him included in the lyric writing since he was going to be singing a lot of it. So the lyrics on the full length are actually a combination of Luke, myself, and Tyler kind of just spitballing. We would come up with a concept for a song, for a particular song, like what we, okay, this is what this song wants to say. And then the three of us would just basically come up with lines here and there, and we would kind of throw them all together and see which lines we liked better. And that's kind of how we came up with it for just about every song on the record. So,
wow, that's super cool. That's actually a unique way of doing it. It seems like most common, there's one person that will be doing the lyrics, and sometimes that person writes the music, or else there's other people writing music. But to have three people simultaneously, that synergy seems like something that you guys have a unique approach at.
Yeah, it worked a lot better than I thought it would, because we basically tried to all check our egos at the door, and only if we had a line that we really, really felt strongly about were there any, this line has to be there, and it has to be this. And most of those actually came from me, the guys would tell you. Overall, it was a great experience. Just as far as it was also nice to bring in someone else into our little tight-knit unit, because we were able to navigate through you get to certain parts in songs where it one person thinks that it should be this way and one person thinks it should be another way, and it was nice to have kind of another vote in there. So
right, yeah, because you can never you can never tie with three.
Right, exactly, nice. Exactly. So it was a good experience.
That's awesome. So at this point, with both of these projects kind of going strong, how do you balance between the two of them? Is it tough?
Well, it kind of is, except that Young Fox, with the album comes out, 8 days now?
Yeah,
after tomorrow, it'll be 8 days.
March 10th, right? March 10th?
Yeah, March 10th. It flies up on you. It's kind of been interesting since the Young Fox album has been finished, as far as the studio is concerned.
Right.
Everything has been about artwork and, and getting this right. And we actually had a remaster that we had to do. One of the songs ended up not being quite right. There was a vocal thing that was weird that John pointed out. So we went back and fixed that and then had to remaster. So there's been a lot of that kind of stuff going on. And while that stuff was going on is when the Zayo stuff was hitting. So far they haven't overlapped at all, which has kind of been a good thing for me. Going forward from here, the nice thing about Zayo is that we have one member who lives in California and one who lives in New York, and the rest of us are all in Pittsburgh. So when Zayo does anything, we all have to know about it months and months in advance. So that we can, buy plane tickets, train tickets, and, get everything taken care of. So Zayo doesn't do anything overnight. So the nice thing about that is then that allows me to plan, when we can do Young Fox things, and, it works well like that. If both bands were just, doing things by the seat of their pants, it would be a bad thing.
Right. And is everybody in Young Fox in Pittsburgh? Okay, so do you find yourself doing things more last minute with that project, more flexibility there?
Yeah, we could if we got asked to do some crazy show, a week later, Young Fox would be able to do that, Zayo wouldn't.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, that's kind of a nice thing, actually. But I can only imagine, are you guys pumped about the album coming out? That's going to be super cool. It's going to be awesome.
Honestly, when you put as much work into something as we've put into this. So I mean, there's excitement is almost on the same level with relief, you know, as far as like, Wow, it's actually coming out. You know what I mean? It's like, we are all very, very excited about it. You know, the idea was when we went into the studio, we basically sat down and said to each other, you know, no matter what happens, no matter how much it costs us, no matter how much time we have to spend here, we don't want to put anything out that 10 years down the road we're going to listen to and, you know, do a facepalm. Because I've done plenty of those records over the years where, like, there's no way in the world I could ever listen to, you know, some of the stuff that I put out 20 years ago. We just wanted to make something that we could be proud of 10 years down the road.
Two things you always regret: those albums that you put out in your youth and Taco Bell late night, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes they were done at the same time, too.
Speaking of Taco Bell late night, usually that comes with touring. Is there anything that you have in the works for a tour, or anything that you kind of have in mind that you think you might go forward with?
To support this album, what's going to be going down?
Well, the first two things that we are doing to support the release is we have, I want to say it's the first week of April, I believe it's the 5th. We are performing live on the radio one of Pittsburgh's big two radio stations, 105 The X. So that's kind of the first stage. And then the second stage is doing a nice big release party in Pittsburgh. That's kind of the first two things that we are doing.
Awesome.
And then we are going to be looking to do some, like, because we are where we are located, Pittsburgh is an ideal city for doing like 3-day weekend things. Because we are so close to so many other major markets. So we will be doing quite a bit of that through the summer.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so we wanted to end this interview by playing a track off of the new album. So which song would you want us to play, and can you tell us about the song?
Oh, boy. Okay, so that being said, it won't be one of the two that we have released already, or it has to be one of the two that we released?
That's up to you.
Well, the first thing that we put out and let people hear is called "Sometimes the Monsters Win," and that track, it was the first one that we wrote for the record, and it was actually probably the easiest of the tunes, but it has a pretty strong meaning behind it as far as it's about our addictions and what we do with them, and, you know, how we should be able to let them turn us into better people. And just on a personal level for myself, having several family members that are really struggling with opiate addiction right now, it's a tune that has some pretty deep meaning for myself. So that being said, it's probably my favorite on the record. So that would probably be a good one to go with.
Alrighty then. So we'll crank that off right now. And again, you can be looking. Where can we find information? Where can people find information about Young Fox? What's the socials that they can catch you guys on to find out more about the tours?
Well, as we said, we are on Instagram. The main way, honestly, of getting in touch with us is through Facebook. That's the social media platform that we all check. Like, as you know, what we had talked about at the beginning with you guys, as far as my technological level is on a very there are 5-year-olds out there that can navigate a smartphone better than I can. Facebook is probably the best way of getting in touch with us, but, you know, we also have a Twitter and an Instagram.
Awesome.
Okay, Steve, you had one more question?
I do. I have one last question for you. It seems like your whole musical career started off on you wanting to get a drum set. Do you think that's something that's ever going to happen for you? You're going to get your drum set and finally, you know, get on that thing? Or?
Well, the crazy thing is I got half of a drum set when I was maybe, oh boy, I'm going to say somewhere between 8 and 10. And all I cared about was the snare drum. So I manufactured a strap for myself so that I could wear it around the house. And that was kind of the extent of my drumming career.
Boy.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, though, with the songwriting, you know, what I have started to figure out is that it's much easier for me if I can have the drummer to try and explain to the drummer, okay, well, this part is gonna should sound like this. So I've gotten actually pretty good at beating on myself. You know, I've got like the kick snare hat on my chest. But that's probably about as close to being a drummer as I will get at this stage.
I think that'll do. So,
all right. Well, that sounds good. Okay. So for you guys listening, this is Young Fox with Sometimes the Monsters Win.